Matthew chapter number 6. Matthew chapter number 6. All that joking and everything aside, the reality before us today is we have seen a great change in America. But not only have I noticed a great change in America, I've noticed a great change among Christians and among the churches of God. And I believe, after doing a little research, that many folks have really come to a conclusion on what the demise and what has caused the slide in the world today and in Christianity today. Most of us would tell us, you know, it's because of the society that we live in. Others will say the cultural impact, and others will say it's because of the lack of Bible preaching and teaching, and because we've become a biblically illiterate society. I believe Matthew chapter 33, for me, probably sums that up more than anything else. It says, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." And so as the Lord impressed this thought upon my heart, I thought about the real reality that in America, but more than America, Christianity today, I have found this influence that many Christians live their life playing a game of hide and seek. By the reality of hide and seek, I want to say, you know, as a kid growing up, I really enjoyed playing the game of hide and seek. And I grew up with a fairly decent sized extended family. On my mother's side, she had 15 siblings. And because of that, you can begin to multiply the number of cousins that I had. Amen. And so when it came to playing a game of hide and seek, amen, we had plenty to seek. Amen. But not so many that are willing to, or that many hiding, amen, but not so much willingness to seek, amen. But the Bible begins to illustrate for me here in this passage the reality of a pursuit of God and a seek for Him in our lives and in our hearts. Now, as we get into the message and before we get very far in, I do want to say this, amen. I know that I am preaching in a Bible college. I know the reality, though, of preaching in a Bible college for two reasons. Number one, I've been where you are. I've sat in the pews. I've been involved in the classrooms. I've got the education, but I do want to say this, and I don't believe I would be alone in this statement, that when we're sitting in chapel and we're learning the Bible principles, we can get wrapped up in a pursuit of intellectualism and a higher knowledge, but not seeking the Lord. If I could say from my heart, and this is the reality for my children, I've had two sons go to school here, for my children, is I want them to finish their schooling, I want them to get their education, but in the process of getting a degree on the wall, if we miss the Lord, we've missed the most important thing God has for us. And so as you find in Matthew chapter 6, the Lord speaking, the reality is He's challenging a very specific group of people. This group of people, if you will, are the disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think sometimes for me, I won't speak for anybody else, but I think sometimes for me, I get wrapped up in the reality of all the knowledge we have of those disciples, but we forget about the youthfulness that they had in Christ at this point. We forget about that these men were new followers to Jesus Christ, and they needed to develop and they needed to learn some principles in their lives that would guide them for the rest of their lives and their service for the Lord Jesus Christ. And so that being said, amen, we need to understand that with this group of people, He's emphasizing specifically to them the reality that there is a normal perspective that is faced in society and in their lives. Amen. And no matter who you are, you may have been grown up as a preacher's kid. You may have grown up in church. Amen. You may have been involved in it all your life. But in reality, I believe there's a normal human perspective that infects our lives. It begins to influence the decisions that we make and influences how we look at the things and the principles of the Word of God. And until we learn to put the human nature aside and begin to seek the Lord first, amen, we will never find the principle of following God as He's mentioning in Matthew chapter 6. Will we place aside the reality of who we are and the perspective of where we've become? I want you to notice with me in Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 1, the Bible says, "And seeing the multitudes, He went up into a mountain, and when He was set, his disciples came unto him, and he opened his mouth and taught them, saying. Now we know the rest of this portion here in Matthew 5, amen, is the Beatitudes. But he moves throughout here in the Sermon on the Mount with the intent and the purpose to teach new followers how to follow the Lord Jesus Christ and how to be the disciples the Lord would have us to be. And this morning, I hope it's every one of our desires that we become a true follower of Jesus Christ. Not somebody that just puts on an outward appearance. That not just comes in and says, hey, you know what? I'm a Christian. By the way, the world has destroyed the name of Christian today. Everything that is labeled Christian today has hardly anything to do with Christianity. And if we don't see that, amen, then we realize the nature of our normal perspective the world has begun to place on us as you go out on visitation. And hopefully everybody in here gets an opportunity to go out on a door, go door-to-door visiting and knocking on doors. And in the midst of that, I promise you, in Cleveland County, you're going to knock on somebody's door that says they're a Christian and probably hasn't been to church in 5 years. Amen? And maybe even longer. Amen? I've had people tell me, amen, hey, you know, preacher, you don't have to go to church to be a Christian. I just scratched my head at that because to be a Christian means I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. Amen. And Jesus Christ said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. If Jesus Christ was going to die for the church, amen, don't you think it would be a priority in Christ's life that we'd be faithful to church? Amen. And so with those principles in mind, do we notice the reality of societies diverting the reality, the true principles of Christianity today? As in Matthew chapter 5, we found his disciples here. But I want you to come back with me now to Matthew chapter number 6. In Matthew chapter number 6, you'll notice with me in our text here, Matthew 6 and verse 33. In Matthew 6, 33, he says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Here's the perspective I find in most Christians today. All these things will be added unto me because I'm seeking God. We begin to change the perspective of what the Lord would have in our lives, and we begin to a pursuit of worldly endeavors in our Christian lives. We begin to involve ourselves in the nature of the environment around us rather than living separated and sanctified lives under the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, as you look in this passage, not only do you find a normal perspective, and I believe he brings that to reality because of verse number 32. In verse number 32, he says, for after all these things do the Gentiles seek. He's saying that's the normal perspective of the society. That is the normal influence that is in their lives. And he says, hey, as we look in here and begin to see these, it's that emphasis that we begin to understand the Lord Jesus Christ is taking those 12 disciples, because get this, they have lived their lives up until the point of being with Jesus Christ, to the point of following him, involved in the world. They began to follow their own pursuits and their own desires, amen. Four of those men were avid fishermen, amen. And so among those disciples, and believe it or not, amen, those same disciples that followed Jesus Christ when Christ was crucified and in the tomb, amen, hey, they went back to doing what they knew they had done before. So after a 3.5 year relationship with Jesus Christ, by the way, most of us will take 3.5, 4 years, in my case, 5 years to get through college. At the end of that point, amen, will we go back to our normal life? Or will we go forward in pursuit of Jesus Christ? And so this morning, as you find this passage, there's a Gentile perspective, amen? But I believe that not only is that Gentile perspective real, I believe it's a general perspective among Christians. That we've laid aside the reality of all that is before us. In Romans 8 and 7, he says, but the carnal mind is enmity against God. He says there's a natural manner in our lives, Proverbs 16 and 25, amen, that when we follow our end and our direction, it is not to the honor and glory of God. Will we begin to involve our lives with a matter of hide and seek with God? Or will we pursue a relationship where we seek him above all others? Number one, I believe not only do we have a normal perspective, number two, I believe there's a needed perspective that he desires in our lives. What does the Lord want out of each one of us in our lives? Does he want us to become more intelligent? Absolutely. But what does he want us to become smart in? Does he want us to get a degree in physics? Sure, if that's the field that God's called you to. But don't let our degrees replace our relationship with Him. And I'm really afraid that sometimes we get so involved in our training and our learning and education that we lose sight of the relationship of our Lord Jesus Christ. I'll say this, and then I remember when I was here, I came to Ambassador in 94 and graduated in 99 by the grace of God. Amen. And as I was here, I got into a pattern and a routine of reading and studying my Bible so that I could pass my memory verses, so that I could check off the reading requirements for Dr. Childs. Amen. And all of a sudden, my priorities had gotten misplaced. You see, you can do all these things in reading and studying and preparing yourselves for the ministry and lose sight of the purpose of the ministry. It's to follow Jesus Christ. Will we begin to see in our lives there is a needed perspective that needs to be realigned? And I know I'm saying this on the verge of midterms, and not on the verge, amen. Right in the midst of midterms, amen. And we need to gather the reality of our lives and revolve into this position that there is a needed perspective in our lives. And what does he say? He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. He says, hey, I want you now in your life, amen. He's talking to, believe me, amen, he's talking to 12 men that have forsaken their lives, amen. They've laid aside their fishing careers, amen. They've laid aside their aspirations of becoming tax collectors, and they have now sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, and he says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to seek me first. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Hey, you would say, well, preacher, was that not what they were doing? They were sitting at his feet. But yet he still felt it was important to impress upon their minds. Seek ye first. This word seek is a very important word inside of the context of this passage. Just like, can you imagine if you would, if we were playing a game of hide and seek, if everybody went and hid, but nobody sought, the game would truly be one-sided, would it not? We really wouldn't be able to play much. I mean, it wouldn't be nearly as much fun. And as I said, with all my cousins and everything there, I mean, we never seeked for those that were willing to participate in the game. I mean, but there was the understanding that to fully play this game, people had to be willing to hide. And somebody had to be willing to seek them. The first thing that is a very important principle in our lives is the Lord asked the disciples to seek Him. The Lord came to seek and to save that which was lost. The pursuit began with God after us. And once He saved us, He's asking us, now will you pursue a relationship with me? Will we go forward now realizing the importance of this aspect in our life? It means not just simply a pursuit, amen, but a pursuit with a desired end of remaining with Him. A desired end of maintaining a daily relationship with our Heavenly Father. A desire of understanding that not only is there need here in our lives, but the question is, not only is it needed, is this wanted in our Christian lives? And so this morning, as we're looking inside the text, we find that, yes, this is a needed perspective. In 2 Chronicles 15, it says, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear ye me, and Asa and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you. Most of us want to put a period there. But the Bible goes on, while ye be with him, and if ye seek him. You see, oftentimes we rely on the Lord to be with us, and I promise you this morning, He'll never leave you nor forsake you, but He'll never be any closer than you want Him to be. That'll be the relationship you desire in your own personal life with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so if you find there's a normal perspective, there's a needed perspective, amen, and that we need to know who God is and know that God is with us, amen, but know our desire and need for Him in our daily lives. And come to the conclusion that when we realize there's this normal perspective and a needed perspective, that there then must be a neglected perspective in our lives. There are some things that we must put aside if we're going to be a follower of Jesus Christ. As I mentioned earlier, I looked to see what some people said the need of the church was today and what the many articles written on this one subject. And they said some of the problems in the world today are political. Now, I don't think we'd have much time debating that here. I mean, but not only did I find there was a discussion concerning political, I found there was a discussion concerning social matters. I found there's cultural matters because things are done differently in different cultures. But then there's educational, financial, and lack of spirituality and spiritual darkness. Now, of every one of those, I just want to go on the record this morning to say the problem today, amen, is our perspective has become political. Our perspective has become social. We believe in a social gospel. We come to the point, amen, where we believe that it is a cultural issue. Amen. We must envelop the culture that we're in rather than living for the Lord Jesus Christ and letting Him be the desire in our lives. And we say, yes, the problem is educational. We see education and its influence, amen, and society teaching all kind of heresies and false doctrine in the schools today. But we say the problem today is educational. I want to tell you, I personally believe, amen, that that is just a symptom of a greater problem. The reality is not only is it not an educational problem, it's not a cultural problem, it's not a social problem, it's not a political problem, it's not a financial problem, it's not a lack of spirituality, and it's not a spiritual darkness. The reality is because we're no longer seeking God as we once did. The Lord says, hey, but seek ye first. He says not only is there a personal, normal perspective, He says there's a need that we seek Him, but then He says there's a neglected because we have forgotten to put the first things first in our lives. We've forgotten to place the priority in following the Lord Jesus Christ and His pattern for us as we serve and follow Him. We understand there's with this needed perspective, there's a carnality that has influenced our society. And I tell you, this is one of the things that really upsets me in the political atmosphere. Because depending on which person or which political party you pull for, will determine the decisions and actions of your life. Let me say it this way. I remember not too long ago, one of the political candidates had a rally on a Wednesday night in Gastonia, North Carolina. As he had that rally on Wednesday night in Gastonia, North Carolina, many of the people that I went to church with, none from my church, praise the Lord, but from several good friends of mine, forsook the attendance of the local church to go to a political rally. Their mindset was more political than spiritual. And we've misplaced the priorities in our lives when we seek these matters and we begin to put aside the most important matter of seeking the Lord first. Will we see the importance this morning as He says, after these things do the Gentiles seek? Will we put aside the pursuits of earthly wealth and earthly gain to trust the Lord Jesus Christ? The reality in our lives is, if with this neglected perspective, there is the need today of the Lord's leadership and our submission to His plan in our lives. Not only do I see, number one, a normal perspective, number two, a needed perspective, number three, a neglected perspective. Number four, there's a necessary perspective. The Lord Jesus Christ, please see this. He says, but seek ye first. It was personal, but it needed to be prioritized. When we get to this place in our life, it changes the priorities of what is before us. And I want you to notice here as he begins to spell this out, Matthew 6:33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse number 22 of the passage, he says, for in verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. Verse 21, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He's saying there needs to be a changed focus in our lives. Amen. If you imagine, if you would, if you're sitting at the feet of Jesus Christ, He's talking to you. He's carrying on a conversation with you. And in the midst of that conversation, He says, hey, seek ye first the kingdom of God. But He says, I want you to keep your eyes on Me. Do you think He realized that there were some distractions that were going on in His disciples' lives? Do you think that He realized there were some things that were going on that not only were a distraction in their eyes, that maybe, just like many of us today, sometimes when the preaching starts, our minds begin to wander to other matters and other affairs? I can promise you, I mean, in following chapel, if you've got a midterm, your mind is really focused on a midterm. You're wondering, you know what, I wondered what's the question is going to be. How challenging is this going to be in my life? Amen. And we miss the reality of the importance of the preaching of the Word of God. And because we need to see, there are many distractions that fill our minds and fill our hearts and fill our lives. That being said, I want to throw one out this morning. Brother Spencer's probably going to get a little upset about this one. But I left my phone in my bag down here, and I normally leave it in my office because Brother Hanky knows. I mean, one time my phone went off in chapel. I mean, it was a text message I'd received, and the text tune I have is Looney Tunes. Amen. And so my phone went off, and so I learned the very great importance that to be focused on God, I need to lay some distractions aside. And I left my phone in my office. Now, it's in the bag this morning. Amen. And as we were sitting up here, getting ready for the service, I'm sitting on the platform. My phone begins to ring. It's muted, so you wouldn't have heard it ring. But my watch started going off. Preacher, why are you saying all that? Because we take sometimes and we replace priorities in our life with conveniences. What do you mean, preacher? I believe the Word of God, the Bible, should be a priority in our lives. If you use your phone and your computers, those are fine. But I want to tell you that this is my philosophy. I mean, if this upsets you, I'm sorry. Well, not so much. I mean, but if this does upset you, it is a reality. When we use our phones in place of our Bible, when we use our tablets and computers in place of our Bible, we make God a convenience instead of a priority. Because the reality is these things here that Lord Jesus Christ is talking, He's saying, seek ye first, and to seek Him first, we must be willing to cut some ties that are holding us back. Some ties that are restraining us from being able to serve the Lord. Amen. And I'll promise you, this seems to happen as it happened to me this morning. Amen. As I'm sitting on the platform, my phone begins to ring. Amen. I'm 50 feet or plus away from my phone. Amen. And I get a message on the platform. Amen. Trying to distract me away from what is most important in my life. That is the things of God. And I'll promise you, you can put your phone in airplane mode and everything else, and you will still get notifications on your phone. You still have notifications and pop-ups and everything that occur. Why? Because it is a distraction. Will we put aside the distractions that draw us away from our focus in the Lord Jesus Christ? Here he says, not only Matthew 6:22, the light of the eye is the body. In Matthew 19:29, he says, and everyone that hath forsaken houses or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my name's sake shall receive an hundredfold and shall inherit everlasting life. He's saying there is a result when we put aside the distractions of this world. The result is we inherit a relationship with our Father as we serve and follow Him. It prioritizes the relationship in Him. In Matthew 10:37, he that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. It's an importance, as he says, this necessary perspective will produce a distinct perspective in our lives. And so as the disciples are learning, they're learning at the feet of the Lord Jesus Christ, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Amen. There's a distinction that He wants them to make in their life. Amen. And that's to prioritize the things of God. To put those first in their lives. Not only do you see it as a distinct perspective, I believe it's a declared perspective. And over 70 times he makes reference to having this position and this authority in their lives, that we seek the kingdom of God and seek the things of God in our lives. Amen. If we will begin to pursue those matters, we will see the Lord working in our hearts, drawing us closer in the relationship the Lord Jesus Christ would have us to have as we follow Him. You see, it is here that we see in Acts 1:3, he says, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of things pertaining to the kingdom of God. He says it's that desire for the Lord Jesus Christ, but it's also a desire for the godly things of this world. It's the leadership of God that we see there's an eternal heaven. Not only to gain, but there is a hell to be shunned. There is a worldly nature that would draw us away from this reality, causing us to miss the most important things in our life. That is a perspective of the Lord Jesus Christ above all else. In 1 Timothy chapter 6, 13 through 15, he says, I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, and before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession, that thou keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, unto the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ, which in his times he shall show who is that blessed and only potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. He says there is a perspective that gets rearranged in our lives, amen, that Jesus Christ becomes preeminent in our hearts. That he becomes the pursuit of our desires and the things that we long for, rather than just playing the simple games of hide and seek. There is a necessary perspective, but lastly, there's a named perspective. As you find this named perspective, it brings us to the conclusion. He says, I want you to find the things of God and put these as a priority in your life. Notice this. He says, the kingdom of God. But seek ye first the kingdom of God. You see, the kingdom is something that reveals the true nature of our hearts. You say, preacher, what do you mean by that? If we were to go back to Genesis chapter 3 and we find Eve sitting in the garden, I don't believe, by the way, she took a bite out of an apple. Amen. But I do believe she forsook the kingdom of God for the immediate needs of her life. She missed a greater relationship because she was more concerned about here and now than what the future was to hold. And so if we look here in this passage, did she lay aside those things? Did she miss the reality? It was a great cost in her life personally. But I want to tell you this, not only was there a great cost in her life personally, as she forsook the kingdom of God for the immediate, not only was there a personal impact, there was an impact that became destructive in her family. When you lay aside the pursuits and the things of the Lord, when you lay aside the seeking Him first, there will be a negative spiritual impact in your life. It will be a negative impact that could scar your family and your home for generations to come. And what was the cost to her? It only required the death of a son. You see, I say that's a very tragic thing to go through. But the reality is it was the result of one action in the garden. You see, as he's challenging them to seek ye first the kingdom of God, not only do we see that we seek after the kingdom of God, but he takes it a step further and his righteousness. You know, as we talk about his righteousness and the work the Lord Jesus Christ can do in our lives, you'll hear the statement, I mean, surely God wouldn't send me to hell. I'm a good person. You see, what we have come to the conclusion of is I'm a good person. I mean, many times I have made this statement. I don't use it as much as I used to. And people would say, you know what, you doing good today? I said, the Bible says there's none good, no, not one. Why? Because I want to take the perspective off my goodness and place it in what He's done in and through me. If there's anything good in me, it's because of what the Lord's done. If there's anything good in you, can I say the same thing about you? It's because it's the work of God. Amen. It's not our own abilities, amen, to make ourselves good in the eyes of God. The Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Amen. And so when we come here, we find there's this righteousness that He desires. He's not talking about a worldly perspective of righteousness. Amen. He's not talking about a national perspective of righteousness. Amen. He's talking about a heavenly perspective of righteousness. If we were to use the measure of heavenly righteousness this morning, I believe it would be very easily to conclude that nobody in here measures up to the level of heavenly righteousness. You see, we've got some great men and great instructors, but the reality is it takes the work of the Lord Jesus Christ in our hearts to preserve us and to present us blameless. And so as we trust that, he says in Psalms chapter 23, in verse number 3, he says, He restoreth my soul, He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness, for His name's sake. In Romans chapter 1, verse 16 and 17. And you know, we love verse 16, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. Amen. I love that statement. Amen. There's something that I've promised by the grace of God I'll never back up on. I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But can I tell you this morning, when you're no longer seeking Him, you've become ashamed of the gospel. when you're no longer willing to stand for Him and be faithful to the things of God, you said, I'm ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. Why? Because your actions are telling the reality of your heart. And so as we see this hide and seek, amen, he says, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also the Greek. For therein the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. He says there is a perspective that must be named in our lives. It is a desire that must be produced in our lives, in our service, in our faith, in our walk, in opportunities to serve and follow Him. He says, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. It comes to the point then in our lives, and I promise I'm getting ready to finish, that I found that most of the times when it comes to the reality of hide and seek, many Christians have involved themselves in hiding from God rather than seeking God. Preacher, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible in Genesis chapter 3 says Adam and Eve heard the voice of the Lord walking in the garden and they hid themselves. Here's somebody they had known, had a relationship, had a desire for. Now they find themselves hiding from the very one that come to touch and change their lives. From the one that could restore them, for the one that could build them up, amen? For the one that can bring them back to a proper relationship. That's the one they're hiding from. The Bible says, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. You find that Demas now found the reality is that there was allurements in this world that were more appealing to him. And so Demas chose to hide himself from the things of God. One of the things I used to enjoy doing when we would play hide and seek was to hide in open sight. We always used to like to find the best place to hide. You know, we can hide over here behind this bush, or we can hide behind the pump house, or you know what, maybe I can get over here and they'll never see me. But one that I found more effective than all the rest was if I would run and get over beside the adults and act like I was talking to my mother or something. They wouldn't pay any attention to me because it looked like what I was doing was right. It looked like I fit in there. And so now all of a sudden, I could hide in open sight. And in the church today and in Christianity today, there are many of us that are hiding from God in open and plain sight. We put on the outward appearance of righteousness, but inwardly, we're missing that relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. I want to ask you this in conclusion this morning. Are you hiding from God? Or according to Psalm 119, verse 114, are you hiding from God? Or are you hiding in God? Psalm 119, 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. Let's not play hide and seek. Let's get hidden in the Lord today. Let's stand, heads bowed, eyes closed. Our Heavenly Father, I thank You for giving us this chance to be gathered together. But Lord, we thank You not only for the chance to gather together, but Father, to read, study, and learn of Thy Word. Allow the Holy Spirit to begin to minister in our lives and to bring forth the conviction that's necessary. Father, that we will seek Ye first. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.